Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hi, what's up, everyone? This is Peter here with Gamertag Radio, checking out The Division 2. As everybody knows, I'm a huge fan, and I'm sitting here with Keith Evans, Senior Gameplay Design. What does a Senior Gameplay Design guy do?
Yeah, well, mostly I'm out at Red Storm Entertainment, and I'm kind of heading up the team there, building Dark Zone, organized PvP, the conflict mode we talked about a little bit back, and also helping on a lot of the RPG, the balance, weapon talents, things like that.
That's awesome. So during the presentation prior to our gameplay session, there was a couple of mentions, things such as activities that are triggered by world logic.
Yes.
And that was one thing that really, you know, made me like, you know, kind of like the dogs when their ears perk up and tilt their heads to the side. And I was curious, what does that mean?
Okay. So, I mean, I think really this is one of the biggest changes to the game from last time. It's the thing that, like, when you're just playing the campaign, everything feels super connected and alive now.
Right.
Right. So you've seen the settlements in the gameplay demo today. Those settlements have actual civilians that live there, like an actual population. They have to go out and collect things in the world and bring them back, but they have their own obstacles, right? And the different factions taking over zones. It's not just something we've scripted. It's not just something that's going to play out the same for every player. It's actually a real living simulation. So we have like, we have tools that allow us to just pull the world back and see what's happening at the simulation level. It's like living and breathing.
All right. So from what I'm trying to gather from that is you're not just set off as a character to basically, you know, one man army into the rest of the world. There's other things that you have to be cognizant of around the world or around the game space, right? Is that
correct? Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as you're moving mission to mission or, you know, leaving the boo at the start of a gameplay session, pop open the mega map, and you can see some of the simulation taking place. You might see a control point that's gone into the hands of an opposing faction,
or
you might see a trade route of one of the civilian settlements trying to get supplies to the other settlement. You can see it moving and them being taken over by an enemy faction.
So that should
trigger you. You can go there and help.
Okay.
Yeah, it's basically from the gamer standpoint, right? It's just feeding you cool gameplay to do that's not the same each time you log in. It feels so much more replayable.
Right.
Than last
it
time.
It takes it away from the fetch it quest simulator. So yes, you have your target objectives that you want to take care of, but there's other things that you need to start looking around and making sure you're taking care of.
Yeah, all the stuff that players liked the first time around, all the side missions, and you know your checklist of things you want to do to get through that 1 through 30 campaign,
right.
Those things are still there. But this, it's going to make the 1 through 30 campaign better, and it's going to just keep pushing into the end game.
And it just keeps feeding things to do.
Exactly.
Giving you a reason to come back, incentivizing the gamer to come back.
It's so much more replayable PvE content for players.
That's really, really cool. And so another thing they talked about was the way you're able to impact, or your actions in the game impact the power struggle between not just the resistance, right, but also the separate factions. How many factions are there?
So there's three major factions that you find in the campaign.
Okay.
So it's the True Sons, the Hyenas, and the Outcasts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So another thing I wanted to talk about, and you know, hopefully we could talk about that here. We talked with Terry and Tony back in December about skirmish, you know, domination and conflict and things
like
that. Are there other modes from the game returning, and are you allowed to talk about them?
So what I'll say is conflict, right? There's a reason why we named it, why we labeled it, why it has its own section of the game, because, you know, when on the team and what we're looking to do in post-launch is it's a platform that will keep growing. So we will absolutely be adding more modes back in, adding more maps to that experience, and really evolving it. There's obviously a lot of cool stuff, you know, some really cool PvP stuff from the first game, and we're looking at, you know, all that stuff to start looking about bringing back, but no plans at this time.
Okay.
Yep.
Snowdrop. You guys started working with Snowdrop back in 2014 and 15.
Yes.
How has, now that you guys have had time to work with the engine over the last 4 or 5 years, how has that helped with the development of the Division 2?
I think the biggest thing is that it's the same team and the same tool set moving into the sequel, right? So anytime you take a super talented team, put them on a new engine, there's this ramp up time right. to really figure it out. This time, all that shared knowledge from the team from the first time around came right in the sequel, and we were able to like really refine the engine. So you'll see things like terrain is such a bigger part in DC, and that really pushed the engine in new places, some fun new things to play around with from like the level design side of things. But I think we were able to build like a more realistic world this time mm-hmm. that's more kind of dense, and we were able to kind of create more content because we're so comfortable with the tools at this time.
That's one thing that is, you know, very visible when you play or when you played The Division and now you're on The Division 2. There are components, whether you're like in Georgetown or you're in the open area, the way that you guys have the design built and, you know, the open areas, you've got trash and you've got, you know, like, you know,
yeah.
just, it's amazing the way you guys have the settings done. How hard was that to replicate?
I think, you know, DC brought a lot of new challenges. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest ones is, like, if you look back at New York, the buildings block a lot of sight lines. Mm-hmm. It creates this grid to kind of layer the gameplay on top of. And DC is so much more open. So we really had to like tackle fully open spaces, what that means for the combat. You see changes in the AI, the way that they try to flank around you more. And that's just because the environment's so different. And we started building, you know, big open spaces. If you look at the control points, right, there are all these 360 things that you can attack from any angle.
Right.
Just a very different style of play.
Right. Wanted to talk about you personally. Right?
Yeah.
You've been on the title since the first one?
Yes. I joined like near the end of the first game and was there all the way through post-launch. So did a lot of the DC expansion, all that stuff.
So what has been your most memorable or challenging moments during the development going from The Division 1 and now to The Division 2?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, being part of post-launch from the first game, right? Like we got to see all the different expansions come in and the community sentiment to that and refining rogue mechanics and how does the community respond to big free expansions with 1.8. And so moving into 2, the big thing was like so much information to take in and try to like boil down into, okay, what do we want to do in this sequel, right? And how is it going to elevate past what we did last time and actually be that true sequel? So for me, the biggest takeaways are, you know, this time focusing on endgame, obviously, which we've talked about a lot, but that really is a key thing that like the whole team had to buy into very early, and planning post-launch around not dividing up the community into segments. I think that was like our biggest lesson from the last game that's going to make this game just really elevated.
All right. So I want to take that little phrase that you
mentioned. Sure.
Trying to not fragment the community, but so how are you catering? Because obviously you've got casuals and then you've got the hardcore community, the ones that are sitting there, that are staying there between all of your, you know, your launch and your post-launch. What are you guys doing to cater to both? Because obviously you don't want to alienate one or the other. So what are some things you're doing to maintain, to keep the casuals interested in the game while also placating, you know, the hardcore players?
I think there's a lot of things. I think, you know, like at the PvP reveal from a few weeks ago, we talked about bringing normalization into the Dark Zone, which I think really opens that part of the game up to them. Things that maybe they were afraid to dive into first time just because hours played mattered so much in your experience you're going to have in there. So it's opening things up like that. But then it's looking at the first game. Where did PvE players spend the bulk of their time? A lot of it was rerunning missions or underground, these things that were the replayable chunks of the game. But then a lot of the open world kind of like fell to the wayside. You cleared it and it was over and then you fast traveled. Right. I think actually having this simulation like we talked about and letting you, you know, oh, I played that mission. I've done it a bunch of times. That was really fun. I'm going to go back to the boo. Maybe this time you won't just fast travel. Maybe you'll take that journey and actually have some more replayable content. I think that really caters to that more casual player who just wants to jump in and have like a fun 30-minute session.
Right. Okay. And so wrap this up with what has been your favorite part so far about The Division 2? That's going to be the question that's going to be asked of us. We are, we're the ones that are playing the game now and, you know, getting exposed to some of the stuff for the first time.
Yeah.
Whereas you've been there from the beginning. So like, what has been your favorite part?
I've had some wow moments on the development. Really early on, it was playing with the new weapons for the first time and hearing the new sounds that the audio team had made and just how like loud and punchy they are. It feels just like so much more in your face in the first game. So that was like this really early thing. For me, it was the first time, though, I created a character and went into Endgame and saw the whole world alive. I saw the occupied Dark Zone. It was off in West, and I saw, you know, the other Dark Zones, and I saw this living world actually taking shape. It was seeing how much bigger this game is than the last one.
Perfect.
Yep.
Well, Keith, thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule to come hang out and talk to us.
Yeah, man, it was great. Thank you so much.
March 15th, right?
March 15th on PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Where will you be playing?
Xbox One X.
All right. Yep. All right. Thank you very much, Keith.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.